It's time for Coordinator's Corner, only on your 24/7 audio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR. Now, here's Adam Crowley.
It is time for another edition of Coordinator's Corner here on SNR. Adam Crowley with you, about to be joined by Missy Matthews from Steelers.com, Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest, Steelers.com, and the Steelers Radio Network. Later on in the program, Missy will be joined, of course, by Keith Butler, and that'll be where we start. And the Steelers' defense didn't have a great start in the first half, giving up 20 points, but gave up a big old goose egg in the second half, only allowed 38 yards in the second half, and had a takeaway. So certainly some things not to be happy about, including penalties, but at the end of the day, a lot of things to be happy about for this Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
All right, you be perfectly still. Don't squeak. Hold the microphone properly. Steelers are on a 5-game winning streak, but talk to me about the negative things that happened in that Cincinnati game that you're not happy about.
Penalties were probably the biggest problem that we had. We had a couple. One on Artie was a pass interference. He kind of lost his receiver. He tried to catch him. He didn't look back for the ball. As a consequence, it was interference. The first third down, you know, we had a chance to get the quarterback, and Tuitt gets his face mask, and it is a legitimate call, and twists his knee and ankle at the same time. So it wasn't a good play for us, you know. And a couple of those two penalties right there were part of the points that they got. So we got to make sure that we keep from penalizing ourselves. It's hard enough to play in the NFL without penalizing yourself. The thing that we tried to do or emphasize this week was to be better in the second half than we've been, you know, because we've given up a lot of garbage yards and points and stuff like that. So we want to be better in the second half. It just so happened we were better in the second half, but we didn't want that first half the way it was either. If we can put together two halves, we'll be okay.
What changed in the second half, though? The guys just calmed down? Or?
I think they calmed down a little bit, but I think more than anything else, we stopped the run. You know, we stopped them from running the football. We tightened the front up just a little bit. We changed a little bit in terms of how wide we were, in terms of our alignment, to try to make sure they didn't have a lot of holes to run in. To put them in passing situations, we did, and we got out and – if you want to know really the biggest difference is our offense held the ball. You know, if you look at the time of possession, I mean, we had the ball 5 more minutes than they did, and that's quite a bit. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it was 10 more. I don't remember. You have to go back and look, but I think it was 5.
It was significant. It might have been the largest difference of the year.
Yeah, sure. And you know, when you don't have to go back on the field, you don't have to defend nobody. So they did a great job of holding the ball, especially in the fourth quarter. And as a consequence, we didn't have to go back on the field. We got up 24-20 on them. We stopped them. And then we got the ball back for our offense with, I think, like 6 or 7 minutes left to go in the game. And we kept the ball. So, we played good. We gave up 38 yards the second half. But a lot of that had to do with us watching on the sideline. You know, a lot of great defenses watch on the sideline.
It's not a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing. So our offense did a great job.
Another interception for Lawrence Timmons,
right.
His second in 3 games. Is he just putting the pedal to the metal? Is he just clicking right now?
Well, I hope so. You know, he's been in 10 years. I think he knows this time of year. He knows what this means this time of year. This is really the nitty-gritty time of the year. For everybody in the National Football League, you see it, throughout the divisions. Everybody's competing to get in the playoffs and stuff like that. This is like, for us, it's sudden death. It's what it is. And so it is for us. It is for the Ravens. It's going to be a huge game this weekend. I think they beat us 5 out of the last 6 games, something like that, and we've got to overcome that.
Have you ever played on Christmas Day as a player?
No.
No. So it's your first go around.
I played on Thanksgiving Day in Dallas one time, but I never.
Okay.
Never did as a player.
First time in Steelers history, you guys will be playing on Christmas Day. But as Coach Tomlin said, this is a snapshot AFC North rival matchup of pure December football. Do you get excited to prepare for a game that means so much? You guys can win the division on Sunday.
Well, I don't think if you don't get excited about this game, you're not going to get excited about football in general.
It's
very easy to get excited about this game. And this time of year, to me, as a player and as a coach, is the most fun time of the year because it's the most competitive time of year.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said that the intensity level goes up. If you're a rookie in the NFL, you come into training camp and the intensity level that you're used to is up a little bit more, and then the preseason starts, it goes up a little bit more, and then regular season starts, it goes up a little bit more. And then at the stretch run with about four or five more games left in on your schedule, then everything gets jumped up a little bit. And if you don't jump up with it, you're going to be left behind.
When you talk about anybody in the AFC North, it's opponents you know well. You play them twice a year.
Right.
So with the Ravens, do you have to focus, I guess, just solely on what they've been doing recently and not try to look too big picture even to the last time you guys played them?
Well, the way injuries are in NFL, you got to look at recent history.
Mm-hmm.
You look at maybe what we did the last game and what was good for us the last game, what wasn't good for the last game. They're going to look at the same thing we are.
Right.
And so we got to make sure that if we made any mistakes in those games or stuff that they can take advantage of, that we got to correct, maybe change some things that we did last time. They know us well. We know them well. We're going to have to play well to win. I mean, both sides of the ball, they got a great defense. They're fifth in the league in defense. We're eighth in the league in defense. We've got to play well. We've got to play our best game.
Do you go back and show your guys the 95-yard touchdown by Mike Wallace, something that was, kind of stung at the time, was almost indicative of how you guys were playing? Or do you move on? They remember?
They remember it. And we'll show it to them. Mike Mitchell knows that he missed a tackle there.
Mm-hmm.
Artie Burns knows that he missed a tackle there. And everybody knows it's 95 yards. They scored really 13 points on our defense and end up, getting actually 15 points because they went for a two-point play and got it. And so as a consequence, we didn't hold them down enough. We only scored 14 points. It's going to be, a difficult situation for our offense. I mean, they're a good defense, so it's mm-hmm. going to be a rock 'em, knock 'em game. And it's going to be, all the frills in it. The exciting thing about the NFL, the reason everybody watches NFL is because it's so very competitive.
Right.
This game is going to be very, very competitive, and it might come down to the last play.
We've seen that story before, right?
Yeah. Yes, we have.
Coach Tomlin doesn't often change the depth chart that's passed out to the media on Tuesday. This week
right.
he did it. A lot of changes on defense, just
mm-hmm.
things that we already know. Artie Burns is listed as the starter.
Right.
Javon Hargrave, Sean Davis, Bud
right.
Dupree.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel like this defense is finally coming together, that you are playing with the same guys almost the entire game and there's not so much subbing and rotation going on?
Well, I hope we are. I hope mm-hmm. we're playing or get to plan at a level that we haven't played all year long. We're going to have to in order to survive, to get into playoffs, and not only get into playoffs, to go deep into playoffs and maybe, win a Super Bowl. I know what it's like to win a Super Bowl. I know what it takes to get to the Super Bowl, and we're going to have to get better every week. We can't stay the same. We got to get better defensively. Our young guys have got to get better. Hargrave's got to get better. Arter's got to get better. Sean Davis has got to get better. Bud has got to get better. Ryan Shazier's got to get better. All those guys on defense, all our guys on defense have got to communicate, and they've got to play together. If we play good team defense, I've got no doubt that we'll come out victorious.
All right. Well, best of luck on Sunday. Thanks so much for your time.
Sure.
That's Steelers defensive coordinator Keith Butler. When we come back, going to hear from Danny Smith talking with Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. A lot of special team stuff to chew on. Chris Boswell, outstanding. The kickoff return unit, well, not so much. We'll hear from Danny Smith when we return. It is Coordinator's Corner right here on your 24/7 home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR.
For some, football is a hobby. For Tunchilkin and Craig Wolfley, football is a lifestyle.
And the Steelers and the crowd are are celebrating.
Get behind the walls of the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex and into the locker room with Tunch and Wolf for the best analysis that this town has to offer. Weekdays from 10 to 2, Tunch and Wolf give you a unique perspective that only two former Steelers can provide as they break down last week's game and look ahead to the next Steelers foe. SNR, available on the iHeartRadio app. It's time for Coordinator's Corner, only on your 24-7 audio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR. Now, here's Adam Crowley.
We are moving along here. Coordinator's Corner on SNR. Thanks very much to Missy Matthews and Keith Butler. Now it's time for Bob Labriola. You'll hear his conversation with Steelers Special Teams Coordinator Danny Smith, then his conversation with Todd Haley, and with Danny, there's a lot to talk about. His kicker was outstanding, made a tackle, first of all, which is never a good sign for a special teams unit. But he also drilled 6 field goals, 6 for 6, tying a Steelers team record. So a lot to chew on. Here is Steelers Special Teams Coordinator Danny Smith with Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com.
Let's go back to Cincinnati, talk a little bit about that game. What were the conditions like? I mean, I wasn't out on the field. It seemed to be pretty windy. They announced, you know, wind chill in the low 20s, I think. Wind was like 9, 10 miles out of the west. But what was it like actually standing down there?
It was cold. It was windy and cold. It was the coldest game I think we played to this point, personally.
Even worse than Buffalo?
Oh, it was colder, you know, than
okay.
It was in Buffalo. Okay. We had all that snow in Buffalo.
Okay, so the K-balls, the kicking balls, ones they use, I imagine in cold they get harder. Do they also get slicker?
Oh yeah, you know, I mean, but the leather that those balls are made of dries pretty quick too.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it can be wet, obviously, but yeah, I mean, it's like any object out there in the cold, man, it gets cold.
Okay, now I want to obviously get around to Chris Boswell, his 6 for 6. When you're kicking a slick, cold ball, you know, last week we were talking about rotation and stuff. Now, does he have to, can he just do it normally, or does he have to adjust for any of that?
Well, we adjust slightly the aiming point because of winds and things like that. You don't really adjust whether the ball is wet or dry, you know, and those kind of things. But, you make adjustments based on, you know, other conditions, you know, with cold and with wind and those kind of things.
So take me through the pregame process. I'm sure you do this every game, where you come to some sort of agreement or understanding on what the field goal kicker's range is that day. How's that work?
We do based on the conditions, and you have two different directions, so it's, you know, can be different in depending upon which direction you're heading, you know, based on wind conditions and things like that. And again, you know, I mean, through the course of a 3-hour game, a 3-hour, 50-minute game, whatever it takes, you know, weather changes too, winds change too. So you have to make adjustments along the way. And, you know, we obviously have a game plan going into that. He and I discuss aiming points, you know, ball placement, you know, where comfortable from, where's a long shot from, you know, those kind of things. And then this situation in the game determines that as well.
So this, whatever the situation in the game, whenever that might come up, and you're in that area of what you decided the range was, does Mike Tomlin, the head coach, just say to you, what is it? Or is Boswell involved in any of the discussion at all?
Boswell isn't really involved at that point, you know, to be honest about it. But yet, you know, he's the one doing the action.
Right.
Most kickers that I've been around, and Boz is no different in the sense that they want to go hit it. You know, the competitors
right.
want to go hit it. I mean, this kid's a great competitor. This kid believes in himself. He has a lot of confidence. He believes in what we do and how we do it. So they're going to be a yes answer all the time. And again, based on what the situation is, you know, you have to make a decision. So, you know, Michael asked me during that drive, you know, mainly, you know, where do we got to get? You know, and I may give him a yard line. I may say inside that yard line, you know, different things like that. So there's constant communication on that, and then we make the decision to go kick it.
Okay, so this is I'm serious about this question. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. But is the difference between making a 40-yard field goal and a 49-yard field goal just kicking it harder?
Well, not really, you know, not necessarily, because the ball's got to travel further, you know, and the ball can adjust in that travel time like anything else. You know, so not really. It takes a lot of technique. You know, anytime you got a process where it involves other people, you know, you got to snap, you got to hold, you got to kick, you got timing. I mean, it's a lot of things. The worst terminology in America, okay,
I know,
is the
I
chip
know.
shot, okay? I mean, it is the worst terminology in American. The next guy I hear use it, I'd like him to come out there and try to kick one of them chip shots. You know, he probably hit the center in the butt. You know, there is no chip shot. I mean, how many times have we seen great golfers, you know, whoever they are, miss those short putts and things? There's nothing automatic about it. You know, it's a process. It that you have to go through, and the guys that are consistent with it, you know, have mastered that process.
Okay, when you're talking about the process, if you get into a game where you get an opportunity to do it more often, and you're doing it okay, I mean, you get into a groove like a shooter in basketball or, you know, something like that, where you feel more confident in it?
I think so. I mean, I really do. I mean, you know, you get in that zone and you hear athletes talk about it all the time, you know, whether they're quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, you know. Like you said, you know, shooters in basketball, and you get into a groove, no doubt. And, you know, the good kickers find that groove pretty quick and are pretty consistent with it.
6 for 6, I mean, that's got to be one of the best days you've ever seen up close.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure it is. I honestly don't have track of that. You know, I mean, what it is, you know, it's a matter of, you know, wins and losses. And that's what we're all about here, and I'm proud to be a part of that. But that's a heck of a day by our kicker, and he did a hell of a job.
Yeah, and that was a big part of that win, too.
Yeah, it always is.
So tell me this. What happened on the long kickoff return?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, we overplayed it. There were a couple of situations in there, and we overplayed a situation, and, you know, he ran to the space that was available. And, again, balls, you know, which we expect them to do. You know, I mean, our kickers are athletes, you know, really. You know, there's some kickers that just run off the field in those situations. You'll never see that in a guy I coach, to be honest with you, because they can save the day, which obviously he did in that situation.
Generally speaking, though, when you draw it up on one of these boards here, if the kicker has to make the tackle, somebody else messed up, right?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt about that. But, you know, I mean, you're going to have kickers with, you know, one or two, you know, a year. Now, if they got, you know, 6 or 7, then you in trouble to begin with. But, you know, I mean, the kickers, you know, are going to have, you know, a couple. They, you know, they're getting paid too, you know, and it was just a situation. It's got to hit right, that particular one hit right, and we misplayed it, you know, just in our you know, our leverage, you know, so to speak. And it was a situation that will get corrected real fast.
You can't work on that tackling with the kicker, can you?
Oh, yeah, you can.
How?
Well, you got the one-man popsicle sleds and stuff like that. We do that in camp. You know, they got to wrap up, put a guy on the ground. Sometimes it's a, you know, a dive, you know, like he did. Sometimes it's a shove out of bounds. But, oh, yeah, I mean, we work on it. I mean, I don't think you can expect them to do those things unless you work at it. And it sets a tone for that kind of thing, and that's why you see him running his butt off. And it sets a tone, and we expect that to get done.
Okay, this one's a little off the wall for you. But how come is it is
more so than the last one
that every time an NFL coach gets fired in the middle of a season or with games left, they always go to the special teams coordinator to take over?
You know, I really don't know. You know, they have. You
that,
know,
that does happen a
know,
lot. Though,
yeah,
right?
Jacksonville didn't do right. that. You know, most recent. You know, and things like that. I just think, you know, when there's three things. Okay, when you talk about a program and a football team, okay, and there's really three people that address the entire team. That is the head coach, the special teams coach, and the strength coach. And when you think about that, you know, they have a relationship with the entire team. I mean, there's offensive coaches that don't even know the defensive guys' names, believe it or not. I'm not saying that has occurred here, and I'm not pinpointing any particular names, but I've been in programs where it is, you know, because you get so focused on your own job and your own responsibility, and, you know, this is a professional business, and you're responsible, you know, to stay in your lane and do your job. So I think, you know, when you got a guy like a special teams coach that has addressed the whole team, it's just the simplest, as you know, as far as, you know, offensive and defensive game plans, the extent of them. You take an offensive coach away a little bit from that game plan. You take the defensive coach a little bit away from that game plan. To be honest with you, I don't want it, okay, for two reasons. I don't want nothing to happen to Mike Tomlin, number one. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is, what happens to that special teams coach that becomes the interim? He's gone when that season ends too, so I plan on staying here for a while. So, number one, I hope nothing happens to Mike T, and number two, I don't want the damn thing because I know I'll be the next one out the door, and I have to pack my bags, and I don't want to do that.
He's got 101 wins. I don't think you got anything to worry about
that. Hey, they talk about hot seats with coaches. Let me just tell you what. Every Sunday you're on a hot seat, trust me, okay? Every Sunday I get puzzled. I don't even read the article. I see this thing, coaches on a hot seat this week. Why don't you just just list everybody. That's the world we live in.
That's Steelers special teams coordinator Danny Smith with Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. More Labs, less Danny, more Todd Haley. When we come back, it is Coordinator's Corner on SNR.
For some, football is a hobby. For Tunch Ilkin and Craig Wolfley, football is a lifestyle.
And the Steelers and the crowd are celebrating.
Get behind the walls of the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex and into the locker room with Tunch and Wolf for the best analysis that this town has to offer. Weekdays from 10 to 2, Tunch and Wolf give you a unique perspective that only two former Steelers can provide as they break down last week's game and look ahead to the next Steelers foe. SNR, available on the iHeartRadio app. It's time for Coordinator's Corner, only on your 24/7 audio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR. Now, here's Adam Crowley.
It's Coordinator's Corner right here on SNR. Adam Crowley with you. We've already heard from Danny Smith, already heard from Steelers defensive coordinator Keith Butler. Now it's time to hear from Steelers offensive coordinator Todd Haley. And the Steelers were able to win last week despite stalling sometimes when they got closer to the goal line. Here's what Todd Haley has to say about that and more. It's Ravens week right here on SNR.
Big win in Cincinnati last week against the Bengals. What did you take away from the offense's performance in that win?
I just thought, we stuck together. You know, it didn't first half really didn't go the way we had planned or wanted it to. I thought the guys stuck together. They never panicked. They trusted the teammates around them, including the defense and special teams, and I just really thought that there's great communication throughout the game. We drew a couple plays up as we went, and that always requires great communication on everybody's part to execute, and they're executed at a high level. Really just a good road win against a division opponent.
And I also thought that they showed a lot of poise, not getting involved in any of the foolishness that there was the potential for with Perfect and Pac-Man and those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, something we talked about a lot, but we got a good group, especially the guys up front, I think are a mature group that understand the importance of being a smart team, and for the most part, they did a very good job of staying out of any of that.
As you evaluated the game after, what did you notice about the inability to finish the drives? Kicked six field goals, scored one touchdown.
I noticed Boz did a great job, number one. But, it was all self-inflicted. Us doing little things, mental errors at the wrong times, penalties at the wrong times, and just a little lack of execution in critical situations. But, again, that's where I thought the communication came in that we never stopped working to get better throughout the game, and it paid off.
In doing this, your job, is there ever any time, just maybe for a few minutes, maybe some night when you're watching video, where you can sit back and just watch, say, Le'Veon as an example, and just appreciate the kind of season that he's having?
I think that's for after the season, when we go through cut-ups and those type of things. But in season, we're pushing, trying to get the guys, because even him, I mean, there's areas where he can continue to improve and help himself and help us. So, when you're in coaching mode, I think you stay in coaching mode.
Last year, the Steelers were the best in the NFL at two-point conversions. This year, I don't really know where you rank, but you're 3-for-9. Is that just the odds, catching up, or is there something that is going on this year besides that?
No, I think it's lack of execution on our part. We had a number of drop balls, missed assignments, the little things. And really that's what's kept us from, as a group, playing to our potential. We know there's better in store for us, and that's the name of the game, to keep improving, keep evolving, keep growing as a group, and play your best football as you go down the stretch. So, the two-point plays, we got a great deal of confidence in that. We will never hesitate or blink when coach calls upon us, and I think we thrive on it. So, I don't think it has anything to do with odds. I think we feel like we're going to get it in more times than we don't.
Looking ahead to this upcoming game, Christmas Day, the Baltimore Ravens. What makes the Ravens' defense traditionally so hard to run against?
I think they do a good job of plugging guys in for guys that are no longer there, number one. You know, they find like-bodied, like-physically talented guys that they're able to plug in and replace guys. But, you know, they're just a really a good group across the board, very disciplined. They're not overly exotic on first and second down. I think they're built to stop the run first, and I think it shows. And then you got some outstanding players, you know, starting with Suggs, that just has a great football intelligence, awareness. You know, they study, they pay attention, and it shows up on Sundays.
Mike Tomlin at his news conference pointed to Brandon Williams, number 98, the nose tackle, as a key to that. What specifically is he doing when he's down in the trenches there?
Well, he's very stout, and yet he can penetrate and be explosive at times also. You know, there's teams that try to keep him out there and sub, and then you'll see him destroying, you know, walking a guard or center back into the pocket. So, you know, even though he's more a two-down player for them, he's a three-down type player from a skill standpoint. He takes on double teams very well, which means he's got great technique and tenacity. Uses his hands very well. Just an overall really good football player.
Sammy Coates, did he take a step forward last week in Cincinnati, you think?
Yeah, I think in the game he definitely, you know, he had a catch and he played, you know, 30 or so snaps, which means he had a good practice week, and I think he's starting to get some confidence back, and Ben's starting to gain confidence in him. You know, and it's just a process. You know, it's been a long way back for him. But we need him. I've said that a number of times. We need him down the stretch, and we needed to make some big plays. And big plays don't always have to be 40, 50 yarders. You know, they can be big plays in critical situations. So, you know, he's making progress.
All these division games are home and home. You play each team twice a year. When you're coming into the second of the two games, can you use whatever was successful in the first game, or will they figure that out? And can they use whatever was successful in the first game, or have you figured that out?
Well, in this case, I don't think that's applicable because, you know, we really did not play close to our best game. You know, it probably was on the other end of the spectrum for us for a lot of different reasons. So, you know, that's good in some ways for us. You know, I think we'll be highly motivated to be a lot better than we were last time. We understand the importance of the game, you know, and this is what you do all the work in the off season for and throughout the season, and it's kind of coming down to crunch time for us. So, you know, we're happy we're at Heinz and have our fans behind us. That'll give us some advantages, but, you know, we need to go out and play our best football.
Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
Steelers offensive coordinator Todd Haley. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Coordinator's Corner. It's the decisive game in the AFC North for 2016 coming up on Christmas Day. I'd like to wish a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays to all Steelers fans out there. Thank you so much to each of the coordinators for making this fun in 2016. Thank you so much to Missy and Bob, and especially thank you to you for listening. We'll do it again next week with the Steelers, hopefully AFC North Division champs, right here in your 24/7 home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR. The Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR. The Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR. The Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR.